Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, September 18th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
the owner of TikTok gains confidence that its tie-up with Oracle will get approved.
Tencent becomes the latest Chinese company to draw U.S. scrutiny.
And Goldman Sachs joins other banks in sending home traders after a COVID case in Manhattan.
New York Mayor de Blasio has delayed the start of in-person learning for all city schools. Plus, an ex-Vice President Pence aide is endorsing Joe Biden. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees keep homering and winning. The season's over for the Islanders, and Justin Thomas leads the U.S. Open.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And futures are mixed this morning. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street. S&P futures down 2 points this morning. Dow futures down 73. NASDAQ futures up 29. The DAX in Germany is little change. CAC in Paris down 0.5%. And the FTSE 100 down 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32nds, yield 0.67%. Yield on the 2-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.2% or 8 cents at $41.06 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.6% or $12.30 at $19.62.20 an ounce. The euro 1.1849 against the dollar. The yen is at 104.33. Nathan.
Well, Karen, we begin with several developments in the proposed tie-up between Oracle and TikTok. ByteDance, TikTok's parent company, is gaining confidence that Beijing will okay its proposed alliance with Oracle. Sources tell us the Chinese government is likely to greenlight the deal as long as it doesn't involve the transfer of artificial intelligence algorithms. Meanwhile, the new U.S. company formed by the partnership is planning an IPO. Bloomberg's Kurt Wagner says the plan has been tentatively agreed to by the Treasury Department.
It appears that Oracle would be a minority stakeholder in a new entity with ByteDance kind of maintaining majority control. And so the idea being that ByteDance would still kind of own this company, but that Oracle would serve as a U.S. partner to check the code, to have access to the data of U.S. users, and in theory, solve some of the security concerns that President Trump and the White House have.
President Trump says he has spoken with Oracle about the tie-up. Any agreement still needs to be approved by both the president and the Chinese government.
The White House is taking a closer look at investments made by China's Tencent. Bloomberg News has learned the Trump administration is asking U.S. gaming companies to provide information about data security protocols. Bloomberg's Nick Wadham says it's an escalation of the president's fight with Beijing.
There are hawks in this administration who are willing to take this thing absolutely as far as it will go, and they see any situation where companies with apps on U.S. phones, where their U.S. subscribers or use U.S. data, they see that as a major threat.
Epic and Riot Games are among companies being asked about security protocols. Tencent owns Riot and has a 40% stake in Epic.
All right, let's turn to the coronavirus outbreak now. Cases have topped 30 million worldwide, and joining us live with the very latest is Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
And Nathan, Democratic nominee Joe Biden, speaking at a CNN town hall, blasted President Trump's virus response as almost criminal. He was also asked what he would do differently.
I will make it clear what is needed to be done. I cannot mandate people wearing masks, but we've just been told if we should expect another 215,000 dead by January. But if we wore masks, we'd save 100,000 of those lives, doing nothing but that.
Meantime, makers of the leading vaccine candidates are going public with trial plans. The moves by Moderna and Pfizer come after fears that the effort to develop a vaccine is becoming politicized. The drug makers are disclosing information about late-stage trials and how they plan to gauge their shot's safety and effectiveness. The global death toll from the pandemic is approaching 1 million. The U.S. tops the list with almost 200,000 fatalities. John Tucker, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, John, thank you. As employees return to work on Wall Street, yet another bank is sending some employees back home. The move comes after one positive test for COVID-19. And here with details is Bloomberg's Tom Busby.
Well, this time it's Goldman Sachs, and this follows similar incidents at J.P. Morgan and Barclays in recent weeks. After working from home since March and finally returning to its downtown headquarters this month, Goldman has already sent traders home from that Manhattan building after at least one colleague tested positive. Despite that, the bank is moving forward with plans to start returning more staffers across more divisions, telling some to prepare for weekly rotations in and out of office starting in October. Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Tom. Meantime, the CEO of the world's biggest asset manager is weighing in on the debate about working from home. BlackRock's Larry Fink says he worries that working remotely results in a lack of productivity and collaboration.
The most difficult issue for all of us is retention of a culture. Cultures were not meant to be done in a remote fashion, and culture is what binds and unifies as an organization.
Still, BlackRock isn't planning to push the envelope. The bank said last month it will allow employees to work remotely for the rest of the year.
Reaction is pouring in on New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy and Democratic legislative leaders' decision to raise taxes on millionaires. As a result, Tal Cohen, NASDAQ executive vice president, says the exchange will temporarily move some operations to Chicago.
We have employees that live in New Jersey. We have a data center. We have businesses that are in New Jersey, and so do other exchanges and broker-dealers. But today, with emerging technology like the cloud and other technologies, it's not that difficult to move, but we want to move together.
NASDAQ plans to move its PSS exchange to Chicago the week of October 26. The firm says it allows clients to react quickly if it ends up moving all market center operations to Chicago.
Well, there's more news from the Fed, with word that the central bank may extend constraints on bank dividend payments and share buybacks. The Fed says it will decide whether to extend the limits in the next 2 weeks. They were set to expire at the end of this quarter.
And a programming note, please join us later on Bloomberg Surveillance for a talk on the future of central bank policy when we speak with Atlanta Fed President Raphael Bostic. Catch that conversation at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television. S&P futures are little changed this morning. Dow futures down 59, NASDAQ futures up 38 now. 10-year Treasury of 5/32, yield 0.67%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.13%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Hi, thanks, Karen. It's 6:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Educators at One Queens High School held a rally shouting a message for New York Mayor Bill de Blasio: teachers vote, stay remote. It comes after a teacher at Benjamin Cardozo High School captured a video of the building with roaches and mice crawling inside. Earlier, Mayor de Blasio says he will delay in-person learning for most of the city schools. It was supposed to start on Monday. Middle and high school students will learn remotely through October 1st. De Blasio says that thousands more educators will be added.
In addition to the 2,000 educators that we announced several days ago, we're going to add 2,500 more. 2,000 originally, 2,500 more. Grand total of 4,500 additional educators being added into our schools and classrooms immediately.
School Chancellor Richard Carranza said the city is giving our schools more staff, more time, and more support to have the strongest possible start to the most unprecedented school year. However, many parents are upset about the delays to in-person learning.
It feels like the summer that has just never ended, so I think we've been actually super anxious and excited about going back to school.
The chair of the City Council's Education Committee, Mark Traeger, also criticized the mayor, saying educators once again were caught off guard by yesterday's decision to delay in-person learning. Vice President Mike Pence is calling his former Homeland Security advisor a disgruntled employee who has decided to play politics. A recently released video shows Olivia Troy, who was also on the COVID-19 task force, speaking out against President Trump's response to the pandemic, saying he did not take the coronavirus seriously. President Trump responded,
"I don't know her. She worked for the vice president. She was on the task force as some kind of a lower level person. I have no idea who she is."
Troy says she is endorsing Joe Biden for president. Lev Parnas, an associate of President Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, has been charged with swindling investors. Parnas had already been indicted on charges of campaign finance violations last year. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashar.
Good morning, Nathan. A three-game series unlike any other in baseball history. The Yankees swept the Blue Jays. They scored 43 runs. They hit a major league record, 19 home runs. Last night they hit six, five in the fourth inning. In fact, five in a span of six batters. 10-7 win for their eighth win in a row. Luke Voit seemingly homers every night. He's got 20 on the year. DJ LeMahieu for the third straight night. Brett Gardner, Giancarlo Stanton, Gleyber Torres, even Gary Sanchez all left the yard. Another comeback for the Mets. Second straight night in Philadelphia. They trailed 6-3. They won 10-6. Big nights for Brandon Nimmo and Robinson Cano. The Islanders' best postseason in 27 years came to an end. Two nights after beating Tampa Bay 2-1 in double overtime, the Lightning won 2-1 in overtime, so it'll be Tampa Bay and Dallas for the Stanley Cup. The Miami Heat seeded fifth in the East. They're 10-1 in the NBA playoffs. Their only loss came in overtime. Heat beat the Celtics 106-101. They lead the East Finals 2-0. NFL, Cleveland over Cincinnati 35-30. To slay a tough golf course, you need confidence. You can do it. Here was Justin Thomas before his opening round at the U.S. Open.
I'm not going into this week scared of this of Wingfoot. It is probably the hardest golf course I've ever played, I think. I mean, Oakmont is very tough, but I think that can get, it's just more the speed of the greens, if anything. But tee to green, the rough, the greens, everything factored in. I think this is the hardest course I've played.
And Thomas went out and shot 65. That's the best round ever at an open at Wingfoot. He's got a one-shot lead. Tiger Woods was even par, but he finished bogey, double bogey. He's three over. Phil Mickelson shot 79. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
The night for Bloomberg Business of Sports. With football underway, we thought it'd be a good time to talk to Super Bowl winning coach Brian Billett. So you can catch that conversation tonight at 7 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio, or subscribe to Bloomberg Business of Sports wherever you get your podcasts. S&P futures little changed right now. Dow futures are down 48. NASDAQ futures up 35. 10-year Treasury yield 67 basis points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And stocks in Europe are fluctuating. U.S. stock index futures are mixed this morning. Investors settling into a bit of a holding pattern this morning. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, they're a little change. Dow futures are down 52. NASDAQ futures up 37. The DAX in Germany is little changed. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 0.67%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.3% or 12 cents at $41.09 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.6% or $11.60 at $19.61.50 an ounce. The euro 1.1842 against the dollar. British pound 1.2988 and the yen 104.33. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the White House is dismissing comments from a former aide who claims in a video that President Trump never took the virus seriously. Vice President Mike Pence called his former COVID task force member, Olivia Troy, a disgruntled ex-employee. Troy says she's endorsing Joe Biden. A U.S. judge blocked controversial postal service changes that have slowed mail nationwide, calling them a politically motivated attack on the efficiency of the postal service before the November election. In sports, the Islanders are out of the NHL playoffs. New York lost Game 6 to the Lightning 2-1. In the NBA playoffs, the Celtics lost to the Heat. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets won, along with the Red Sox and Giants. The Orioles lost a doubleheader to the Rays. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 6:19 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Now let's get the latest on Oracle's bid to take over TikTok's operations in the U.S. The new company could hold an IPO within a year, that is, if the Trump administration and the Beijing government sign off. Bloomberg News State Department reporter Nick Wadhams has been tracking all the developments and joins me now. Good to have you back on with us, Nick. That's a fairly sizable hurdle to overcome, isn't it? Final approval from both governments. So where do we stand now?
Well, it looks like opposition is crumbling to this deal. We learned late last night, actually, that Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who had been one of the holdouts, was coming around. He had actually spoken to the president yesterday morning and told him he wasn't quite as opposed to the deal as he had been. The big question, of course, is the ownership structure, and that's what we really don't know. Even with an IPO, it's still not clear to us that ByteDance, the Chinese company that owns TikTok, would be willing to give up a majority stake and whether that would be okay with President Trump. So we've got till September 20th for the president to make a decision. But some of the hardliners, Secretary Pompeo and some Republicans in Congress, for example, who had been concerned about the deal, are saying they think even so, they believe that this could be a deal that would be good for the U.S.
Well, what do we know so far about how this deal could be structured and what the ownership could look like?
Well, essentially what would happen where TikTok is really putting a lot of the eggs, so to speak, is on the idea of what the board would look like of the new company. And they say that would have to be comprised entirely of American citizens. There would be a national security committee that would work out any national security concerns, and also Oracle would have full access to TikTok source code, so they'd be able to see if there were any shenanigans going on, if the company tried to block certain search terms or things like that, and then also user data would be housed in the United States. So essentially the argument is, listen, regardless of what happens with the ownership structure, the board and all of these other protections on user data are now so robust and address the concerns that the president had before that you really don't even need to worry about that part.
But then the president has been on record saying that he won't accept the deal unless ByteDance gives up majority ownership. Could that be enough of a sticking point?
Well, that's the big question, and that's what we're all trying to figure out. You know, it's so interesting how the president negotiates. Obviously, he's really staked himself to this maximalist position where he said divestment or nothing. And now you have a situation where this new company really looks like it's everything but divestment. And you have all sorts of people telling him, listen, they're not divesting fully, but we think this is still a good deal. The problem is he's been so outspoken and so public with that one demand. The big question is he going to be willing to back down from that?
All right, well, we'll have to wait and see whether that happens. But in the meantime, the guardrails that have been put up under this proposal, the scrutiny that would be put in place over TikTok's source code, what's the sense within the Treasury and the State Departments about whether that would pass muster?
Well, they think it would. Listen, I mean, the biggest proponent of this deal is Steve Mnuchin himself. He has really been working this very, very hard. He's the chairman of the committee that is making the final recommendation. He's the one who's been working most closely with TikTok, with Oracle, to try to get the term sheet revised and up to snuff. So they believe, I mean, the issue that's happening here, one of the concerns that remains is that TikTok wouldn't have complete mastery over the source code. So it would still be going back to ByteDance, but they would be able to see everything that happens, every change. They'd basically be able to see into the guts of the machinery, as it were. If they wanted changes and things like that, that's all stuff that would have to be worked on. But Mnuchin believes at this point that, listen, we'd be able to see everything that it does, so we'd have full awareness, we'd know exactly what was happening, and then that would be able to allay the president's concerns. So that's really what he's banking on.
Only about 30 seconds left here. What about the Chinese side? Is there a sense they'd go along with this?
Well, that's what's also very interesting. In the last 12 hours or so, we learned that the Chinese government were getting indications that they, too, are much more open to the deal. So it does seem, at least at 6:20 in the morning on Friday, that both sides are coming around to the idea of doing this sale.
And it could be a long weekend ahead. We'll have to wait and see because the final decision has to be made, as you say, by Sunday. Bloomberg News State Department reporter Nick Wadhams, thanks for the debrief. And just taking a look at Oracle in the pre-market, on word that TikTok owner ByteDance is gaining confidence that Beijing might go along with the proposal. Oracle shares are up 1.25% in the pre-market. S&P futures are little changed. Dow futures are down 48 points. NASDAQ futures are up 43. This is Bloomberg. And it's now 6:25 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are mixed as we close out a week that's seen rapid developments on the proposed tie-up between TikTok and Oracle. Sources tell us ByteDance is gaining confidence that Beijing will okay its proposed alliance with Oracle. And we get the very latest from Bloomberg International editor Jody Schneider.
Secretary Mnuchin himself sent ByteDance a revised term sheet. And the company and Oracle apparently have accepted it. They basically described the changes as addressing some national security concerns about the transaction that President Trump and members of his administration had.
A final deal needs approval from both Chinese and U.S. regulators.
Well, meanwhile, the Trump administration is taking aim at another tech company out of China. Sources tell us the Trump administration is asking video game companies to provide information about data security protocols involving Tencent Holdings. And we get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Those sources say the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S., otherwise known as CFIUS, has sent letters to companies including Epic Games, Riot Games, and others to inquire about their security protocols in handling Americans' personal data. Tencent, the world's largest gaming company, owns Los Angeles-based Riot and has a 40% stake in Epic, which is the maker of the popular video game Fortnite. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. Let's turn now to the coronavirus outbreak, where cases have now topped 30 million worldwide. Joining us live at the very latest is Bloomberg's John Tucker. John, good morning.
And Karen, infections are showing no signs of slowing more than 6 months after a pandemic was declared. The global death toll is approaching 1 million. The U.S. tops that list with almost 200,000 fatalities. Goldman Sachs sent some traders home from its Manhattan headquarters after at least one employee tested positive for COVID-19. And meantime, Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden calls President Trump's response to the pandemic almost criminal. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And futures this morning again are mixed. S&P futures up a point, Dow futures down 38, NASDAQ futures up 45. The DAX in Germany is up about 0.1%. The FTSE 100 down 0.2%, and the CAC in Paris is down about 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 0.67%. The yield on the 2-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.5% or 20 cents at $41.17 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.6% or $12 at $1961.90 an ounce. The euro 1.1845 against the dollar. The yen 104.32. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond. Here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Teachers and parents marched in Manhattan after Mayor Bill de Blasio says he will delay in-person learning for most of the city schools. In-person learning was supposed to start on Monday. Middle and high school students will learn remotely through October 1st. This parent is the mother of a second grader and a preteen.
The parents and the students are in between the mayor and the DOE, and I feel like we always are losing out.
Mayor de Blasio says that thousands more educators will be added.
We are doing this to make sure that all the standards we've set can be achieved. talked about over those last weeks, what we gleaned from looking around the entire world, literally, the best practices from around the world. And that meant that we had to have social distancing throughout schools, cleaning constantly, face coverings on students and adults alike.
School Chancellor Richard Carranza said the city is giving our schools more staff, more time, and more support to have the strongest possible start to the most unprecedented school year. A former senior advisor to Vice President Mike Pence endorsed Democratic nominee Joe Biden and accused President Trump of showing disregard for human life during the coronavirus pandemic. Pence dismissed the criticism by Olivia Troy, who worked as his Homeland Security, counterterrorism, and coronavirus advisor.
It reads to me like one more disgruntled employee who's left the White House and now has decided to play politics during an election year.
Meanwhile, according to a New York Times poll, Joe Biden leads President Trump by 9 points in Arizona. California employers will soon have a couple new laws to deal with in the way they run their business. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The first will require employees to be notified if there is a positive test for COVID-19. The bill will allow CalOSHA to shut down any work site if it feels there is an imminent hazard. It stipulates the notification must come within one business day, and also employers would be subject to a civil penalty. Goes into effect January 1st. Second deals with family leave. Nearly all employers will be required to provide workers with up to 12 weeks of unpaid protected family and medical leave starting in January. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Michael, thank you. It's almost 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, when the series and the home run onslaught was over, it was time to get out the baseball record book. The Yankees hit 19 home runs in the three-game series with Toronto. That is three more than any team's ever done. Six or more home runs in three consecutive games. Also an MLB record. And last night's five home runs in one inning ties the all-time mark. Yanks beat the Blue Jays 10-7. They've won eight in a row. 43 runs in the series. The five home runs in the fourth came in a span of six batters. In fact, Brett Gardner, DJ LeMayu, and Luke Voit homered on three consecutive pitches, all thrown by Toronto's Chase Anderson. He served up all five. Another comeback by the Mets. Three runs in the sixth inning. Four more in the ninth. They beat the Phillies 10-6. Tampa Bay and the White Sox both clinched playoff berths. For the White Sox, their first since 2008. The Islanders and Tampa Bay, Game 6, like Game 5, went to overtime. This time the Lightning won 2-1. They'll play Dallas for the Stanley Cup starting tomorrow. It was a great playoff run for the Islanders, but they're headed home. The Miami Heat keep winning, came from 17 down to top the Celtics. 106-101, Miami leads the East Finals 2-0. NFL, there were some fans allowed in Cleveland. The Browns beat the Bengals 35-30. Opening round of the U.S. Open at Wingfoot, a 65 for Justin Thomas. Only one bogey at 5-under. He leads by one over Patrick Reed, Thomas Peters, and 21-year-old Matthew Wolf. Tiger Woods faded at the end, shot 3-over. Phil Mickelson's now 50 years old. He's never won the Open, a runner-up six times, including 2006 at Wingfoot when he led on the final hole. Yesterday, Mickelson shot 79. Only one golfer had a worse score. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
This merger frenzy is nothing to celebrate. I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. A flurry of corporate deal-making this week is creating the illusion of an almost return to normalcy. But don't let the billions of dollars suddenly swishing around the M&A market fool you. None of the recently announced deals necessarily signals renewed bullishness toward the economy, and in fact, one is flashing just the opposite. The transactions involving TikTok and chip designer Arm Ltd. are both essentially forced asset sales, not the kind used as a market barometer. One was brought on by geopolitical tensions, and the other was a result of billionaire Masasson trying to shore up his company's finances. Then there's Verizon's $7 billion takeover of TracFone Wireless, a prepaid phone service provider that caters to lower-income Americans. Verizon seems to be betting that particular subscriber base will continue to expand amid the recession. So while M&A may be bouncing back, unfortunately, it doesn't yet signal the end of the crisis. I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Wall Street could be in for a wild ride today thanks to so-called quadruple witching. Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky has the story.
The quarterly expiration of stock index futures, stock index options, stock options, and single stock futures almost always produces a burst of trading volume. And although analysts note that it's become less common lately, there can also be some additional price volatility at the start and end of trading as investors unwind their positions. Today's quadruple witching comes with the market already on edge after this week's remarks from Fed Chairman Jerome Powell over an uncertain economic rebound without further stimulus. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry, thanks. On the economic front today, the University of Michigan issues its National Consumer Sentiment Index this morning for September. Economists do forecast an increase, and Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice has that.
Consumer sentiment is in recovery mode as America's economy gets past the pandemic's darkest days, but COVID-19 still holds sway. In August, the Michigan index rose to 74.1, the second increase in 3 months. There are signs of some hope in the labor market, the key to consumer confidence, with unemployment dropping below 10% in August from depression-like levels. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. Car makers in the European Union are crying foul, balking at the EU's plan to set stricter emissions limits for the next decade. Automakers say they lack the government support needed to achieve the targets. Join us at noon Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television. We speak live with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on Balance of Power with David Westin. Again, that's at noon today, Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television. S&P futures up a point, Dow futures down 41, NASDAQ futures up 46 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit burdenllp.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are fluctuating. U.S. stock index futures are mixed. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, they are down about 2 points. Dow futures down 62. NASDAQ futures up 39. The DAX in Germany is up about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32. Yield 0.67%. Yield on the 2-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4% or 16 cents at $41.13 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.6% or $11.10 at $19.61 an ounce. The euro 1.1839 against the dollar. British pound 1.2977. And the yen is at 104.31. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Democrat Joe Biden is leading President Donald Trump by wide margins in Maine and Arizona, according to a New York Times and Siena College poll. Biden was ahead by 9 points in Arizona at 49% versus 40% for Trump. Biden is ahead by 17 points in Maine at 55% compared to 38% for Trump. President Trump ridiculed FBI Director Christopher Wray for telling Congress that Russia is seeking to hurt Democrat Joe Biden's presidential campaign through social media and influence operations. Trump, in a tweet last night, says China is far greater of a threat than Russia, Russia, Russia. In sports, the Lightning knocked out the Islanders in the NHL playoffs. In the NBA playoffs, the Celtics lost to the Heat. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets won. The Red Sox won along with the Giants. The Orioles lost a doubleheader to the Rays. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's coming up to 6:49 on Wall Street, and it's time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories from our nation's capital include Joe Biden stressing his middle-class roots and slamming President Trump's coronavirus response at a CNN town hall in Scranton. President Trump planning to kill what's left of the Iran nuclear deal before addressing the U.N. General Assembly next week. And Attorney General William Barr going all in for Trump campaign themes weeks before the election. Also making news today, the president hoping for an October surprise in his push for a coronavirus vaccine. Let's get more on all these stories now from Bloomberg U.S. politics editor Kathleen Hunter. Of course, the president has been pushing hard for a vaccine by next month and has contradicted a lot of his own health care experts when it comes to the timeline. Talk a bit about the political gamble the president's making here.
Well, it's a pretty big risk for the president, I think, because, you know, if there isn't a vaccine, then he's going to be, you know, left having promised one and not delivered, which given that what we know already about how voters perceive his coronavirus response, he gets pretty much poor marks across the board. I think it would be extra complicated if he does make this promise and then isn't able to come through on it.
And we got something of a glimpse of how the public is treating the president's response in some of those poll numbers Michael Barr just mentioned in the news from the New York Times and Siena College. It looks like the president is starting to get hobbled a bit in some of these battleground states.
Absolutely. I think, you know, if we look at states like Arizona, North Carolina, and Maine in particular, we see that, you know, the president is getting, you know, criticized by voters who say that they trust Joe Biden more than they trust Trump to handle that issue. The margin was, you know, definitely into double digits, I think 25 percentage points in Maine alone. And I think that what we're seeing is that having a down ballot effect as well, not only is that translating into less support for Trump over Biden in the general sort of head-to-head polling, but we're also seeing increasingly Republican Senate candidates falling behind their Democratic counterparts. You know, we have Susan Collins, who's running for re-election in Maine. There's a Tom Tillis who's running in North Carolina. And then there's also a competitive race in Arizona. And so those taken together could really work in Democrats' favor, not only in terms of the White House, but in terms of making gains in the Senate.
Are we starting to see the Democrats and particularly Joe Biden begin to capitalize on that now as he's starting to raise his visibility most prominently last night at this town hall event in his hometown?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, what we saw from Biden last night was, again, probably the most pointed example yet of him trying to paint a contrast with Trump, particularly when it comes to his own background versus the president's. You know, it's not coincidental that this took place in Biden's hometown of Scranton. He likes to emphasize on the campaign trail kind of his middle class roots and the fact that unlike Trump, you know, he didn't grow up, you know, more wealthy. And so I think that that's the contrast that we're likely to continue to see Biden paint, particularly because he's able to talk about it in terms of the coronavirus pandemic and the resultant economic fallout and argue that he is the candidate that's best positioned to sort of understand the challenges that Americans are facing right now. And so I think that's an argument that has the potential to be really resonant for Biden, and I would expect him to continue it.
Only about 30 seconds left here. Attorney General William Barr is getting overtly political now with less than 7 weeks until the election.
He is. And, you know, I think that it's not a stretch to say that in a lot of ways Barr is the most political attorney general that we've seen in recent years, at least. And I think that, you know, I wouldn't expect that to change. And this could all really come to a head after the election if, in fact, there is a dispute about the outcome. You know, having Trump's top law enforcement official firmly in his corner, I think, may be a scenario that we see playing out more definitively.
Bloomberg U.S. politics editor Kathleen Hunter, thank you as always. Read more on these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal and listen to Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2 in Washington. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 6:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, and here's John Tucker. John?
Yeah, good morning, Karen. Since 1979, Grandy Oats has been producing 100% organic granolas, trail mixes, roasted nuts, and hot cereal in northern Maine. The first quarter of 2020 was the best that this small business ever had in terms of revenue and profitability, and then the pandemic hit. Grandy Oats co-owner Aaron Anker is joining us this morning. You guys were flying high, and, you know, describe what happened next.
We were on our way to the largest natural products trade show in the country called Expo West. You know, you prepare for it for, you know, months, I mean, 6 months, and the trade show gets canceled. And from then, it just kind of spirals. You know, you lose about 30 grand on the trade show. the, you know, 100-plus colleges that we serve throughout the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic start closing, and so you've got all the distributors that are canceling.
Okay, so how did you respond? How did you pivot?
We found some different subscription box companies out there that have been really flourishing during the pandemic, where you basically get your fruits and vegetables delivered to your door, and then you can add on other pantry items like granola.
You are also fighting the perception that just touching the package, consumers could get the virus.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many people you know that were washing their groceries. My mom was washing her groceries. Everybody was. And the reality is, you know, the science is saying that it doesn't really live on surfaces. So I feel like really what we need is a full-on PR educational effort from our country.
It's not all bad news for you guys. You were the winner of the state's Small Business Administration Award.
We're really thrilled. They're actually coming out to our bakery next week to give us the award in person.
Did you guys take advantage of the PPP or any of the government assistance?
Yeah, we did. And it was, again, you know, you had to work with your local bank on that, or your bank, you know, whatever bank you used. And our local bank was phenomenal.
Did you have to let anybody go?
So we just decided to go with what we knew. We furloughed about 16 people. And as of now, we've brought almost all of them back. Anybody that we could, we've brought back. So it was very exciting. And the PPP was very helpful in that.
All right, Grandy Oates, co-owner Aaron Anker, business is coming out of it. And thanks. We'll continue bringing you stories of small businesses trying to survive during the pandemic every day at this time at Bloomberg Radio. And that's the Small Business Report. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. It is time now for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked in the top 2% nationally for alumni mid-career earnings and number one for student upward economic mobility. Learn more at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Jupiter and its enticing moon Europa shine in a new photo by the Hubble Space Telescope. Hubble snapped the picture last month when the planet was more than 400 million miles away, and the Space Telescope Science Institute released it yesterday. Europa, which is smaller than our own moon, appears as a pale dot alongside its giant color-streaked gas planet. A bright white splotch in Jupiter's northern latitude indicates a new storm barreling around the planet at 350 miles per hour. Jupiter's great red spot, meanwhile, is unusually red in the photo. While gradually shrinking, the massive storm is still big enough to swallow Earth. The Trump administration wants information from gaming companies about data security linked to China's Tencent. Bloomberg News has learned that the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S. has sent letters to companies such as Epic Games and Riot Games. They want to know about protocols in handling Americans' personal data. Tencent owns Riot and has a stake in Epic. Apple says it'll launch its first online store in India next week as it seeks to increase sales in one of the world's fastest-growing smartphone markets. The company, at present, uses third-party online and offline retailers to sell its products in the country. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. And S&P futures are little changed this morning. Dow futures down 47, NASDAQ futures up 36, and the 10-year Treasury is up 4/32, yield 0.67%. The yield on the two-year at 0.13%. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.